Heavenly Father, I ask that you help us as we study your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit have reign in this place, for giving us wisdom and an understanding of what your word has laid before us. Lord, I ask that if I deviate from topic, that you bring me back. Heavenly Father, I ask that you grant me wisdom as we talk through this difficult topic again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, see who was awake last week. What did we talk about last week? Anybody? You can say it again. You said it last week. What did we talk about last week? You're right. We talked about hypocrites last week, right? Whoa, that one's rolling. That'll be for someone else later. Yeah, we talked about the hypocrites last week. God had Jesus go to his people first. The Pharisees and the lawyers in particular, he spent some time with. You know, he called the Pharisees and the lawyers hypocrites more than any other name in the Bible. You know, hypocrisy is defined as holding someone else to a higher moral standard than yourself. That's what the definition is. And what the Pharisees had been doing is they had been placing laws on the people that they couldn't keep themselves. The lawyers had been writing down those laws and trying to enforce them. It was all built around this idea of self-righteousness. Christ spoke a parable with them, and he said, the light of the body is what? The lamp of the body is what?
Your eyes.
Yeah, good job. Is your eyes. How you perceive things, how you see things sets the tone. And the Pharisees, when they looked at people, they looked at how they fell short of all the rules and the laws that they'd set up. They couldn't see mercy. Luke 18. If you would turn with me, 18 and 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, Christ didn't hold punches when it came to dealing with the Pharisees. You know, they sought to divide the people. They watched Christ in everything that he did. You know, if we go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know, the lamp of the body is the eye. And that's what the Pharisees were so focused in on. There were those people that they saw as self-righteous like themselves, and those that were just unworthy. You know, this morning I read from you from John. You know, Christ, he talked with the Pharisees hard about what they were doing. But he talked with the woman at the well differently. You know, in John, says that he went to this well, John chapter 4. And he sent his others on. Now he sent the disciples on to town to get food. Now, yeah, some of you might say, but wait a second, Christ just was a hypocrite there. Because in Matthew, Christ tells his disciples not to enter a Samaritan city. Yet, here he tells them to go into the city of Sychar to get him food. That's not quite the same thing. You see, when you're young and you're in the kitchen and your mom's cooking a big old bowl of chili on an open flame and she says, don't touch that, does she mean don't eat it later when it's ready? She said don't touch it, and to eat it later would be breaking that, right? The same thing with Christ. Christ earlier, when he told the disciples to go out into Jerusalem and speak to my people, but don't enter a city of Samaritans, they weren't ready yet. He was sending them out on their own to practice ministry. Now here he is with them, and this is later. He's taught to them some of the pitfalls of the Pharisees. He's talked to them some about the hypocritical heart. And he's prepared them and he's taught them a little bit more. Something they weren't ready to do before. And that was to go into Samaria. So him sending them now into the Samaritan city is not hypocritical. They just weren't ready before. Now they're ready to learn something. So Christ sends them off into the city. Now, this woman, she comes to draw water. And he asks her, can you get me a drink? And they start to talk a little bit about water. What is it that first surprises this woman when Jesus asks her for a drink of water? That he talks to her at all, right? Verse 9, I believe. She even asks him, what does she ask him? I think it's verse 9. Yeah, why is it that you, being a Jew, are talking to me, a Samaritan? Why is that? Right? So her perception starts off the way the Pharisees are. That there's this division between people. That there's these people that are more righteous than others. She doesn't see herself, though, as the Pharisee. She sees herself as the unrighteous, as the tax collector, as the sinner. So Christ starts to talk to her about water. If you knew who I was, see, he doesn't bring up the whole self-righteous thing about, oh, well, here's why I'm talking to you, I'm a Jew, and they're Jews over there, and they made up all these rules. They don't really apply necessarily here in this situation. And he doesn't go into all that. Instead, he talks to her about water. And he says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for the drink. Now, she says, you don't even have a bucket. This is a deep well. How are you going to give me a drink? He says, oh, this water that I offer, that I have, you don't thirst anymore after you drink it. Now, this woman has some understanding of spiritual things, but this spiritual discussion Christ is having with her is flying over her head. She doesn't get it. She's stuck thinking about the physical thing. So Christ changes his tactic. He first starts with this spiritual talk, saying, if you just knew who I was, you'd ask for this spiritual water that I have. And he says, tell you what, go get your husband. Now the Samaritan woman is put on the spot. Now she knows her life. She knows what's happened over the years. This is a stranger. She's met at a well. Now the easy way out would be, let me go get the guy that I'm staying with right now. He's my husband for all intensive purposes from the standpoint of this stranger. He wouldn't know any better. She could do that. She could save face. She could lie. But she doesn't. All he's talked to her about is water so far. But she says, I don't have a husband. See, Christ is testing her heart with that question. You know, we get these opportunities to present ourselves to people. We can present ourselves as those well-buttoned up suit and tie. I've got every piece of lint off of my jacket type of person. Or we can show what we really are. We're broken. We've had things in our life that tear us down. Yeah, there's been things in the past that we've overcome, but there's still stuff we struggle with. Christ opened himself up to people. He gave this lady an opportunity. She chose to show herself, to open herself up to Christ. Say, I don't have a husband. He says, right you are in saying that you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five, and the man that you're with is not your husband either. And that lets her know that now she's in a conversation with someone that has spiritual power, true spiritual power. Because she didn't give in to any of that information, but he knew it all. He tested her heart, and she understood her need for a Savior because she accepted that she was broken. That's different from the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they saw themselves as self-righteous. They didn't see themselves as having flaws because they'd put on those garments every day, covered everything up so well, washed their hands the 5 or 6 times a day. They'd put up the public showings. They'd gone out into the courtyards. They'd shook hands with the right people. They'd maintain that image. This woman was going out of town to go get water by herself. She knew her state. So we had the hypocritical heart of the Pharisees. And then we have the heart of this woman. She wasn't holding anybody to a higher moral standard than herself. In fact, she saw herself as that lowly sinner. Couldn't even raise her head up to God like the tax collector. John 4:25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. The Pharisees knew a Messiah was coming. But the Pharisees were looking for Christ through their eyes as someone who's going to liberate them and put them back in power. To show all of those Romans what these Jews could do. But that's not how this woman saw the Messiah. You see, she saw the Messiah's coming as someone who was going to do what? What was the Messiah? What did it mean to her? It's going to tell her the truth. You see, the Samaritans, they had been kind of kicked out of the Jewish line. You know, years, many, many years back, the kingdom was split up after Solomon had ruled. And they kind of had two kings come out of the Jewish line. And one of those kings set up the cities around Samaria. He called his area Samaria. They were all Jews. The other king got captured, and his line became slaves for a while the Samaritan group stayed off, kind of like Switzerland. Let's stay out of this. You know, those guys got themselves in trouble. We'll stay back up in the mountains. And then after the years went on, those Jews that had been captured got to come back home. And when they did, there was a divide between these two groups of Jews. The Samaritans and those that were in Israel, as far as the rest of the country of Israel. And they set up a root in Jerusalem. Now for a while, the Samaritan Jews and the Jerusalem Jews would worship together in Jerusalem. But the tension between the two regions got to grow so much that the Samaritans didn't feel welcome there anymore. So they started to worship on the mountain, Jacob's mountain. So when she asked Christ some things, she asked him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one is ought to worship." She wants to learn. She doesn't have this idea of what's right and wrong in her head. She's looking at things through a new lamp. Of this is a teacher. This is somebody that can bring me further. He says, there's going to come a time where it doesn't matter where you worship. God's just going to be looking for people to worship Him. That's the important part. Now, after talking with her a little bit, and he says, "I am the Christ," the disciples show up. Now, they marveled that he was talking with this woman. And she went off to town and talked to everybody there in town and said, "Come see this man. He knew everything I've done." You see her heart even in this. She goes to the people that probably ridiculed her, that looked down on her for all that she'd done. She doesn't go and tell them, "Hey, come see this guy. He knows a lot of good things. Come see this guy. He's got some wisdom." She doesn't downplay any of it. She goes straight to her sin and says, "He knew everything I did." She wasn't hiding behind it. That's the difference between a hypocritical heart and a heart that's open for mercy. She said, "Come see this man."
And some came because they believed on what she said. And then Christ sat down and he talked with them all. And they said, please stay with us a couple days. So he stayed with them a couple days. And he spoke with them. And then they said, now not only do we believe because of what she said, but we believe because of what we heard from his mouth himself, that he is the Christ. It's so important that we see what hypocrisy really is. Because we can tend to throw this term around an awful lot. For example, let's say we've got someone who's a Christian, goes into a bar, oh my gosh, he's a hypocrite. Really? Is that what a hypocrite is? No. The Pharisee heart, where you see self-righteousness in yourselves and in others, and that's what you see, never be achieved, that's the hypocritical heart. The Christian that goes into the bar, maybe they have a beer. Is having a beer a sin? No. Is having friends that have beer a sin? No. If you stand outside of that bar and you see that Christian come out and you talk about what you saw him doing, there's hypocrisy. Oh, I saw Bob come out of a bar. And that's hypocrisy. When I start putting self-righteousness into the picture. The world doesn't need hypocrites. What it needs is people that are willing to look at mercy on themselves and others. Today we don't have this stigma around, oh, there's the pool of people that are tax collectors. They live in this section of town. Or here's the people that are the lepers. They live in this section of town. Or here are the Samaritans. They live over here on this hill outside of town. We don't have that sort of political divide around righteousness. We all live together. We all work together. We all eat together. We all go out in public together. We rub elbows with people in suits and people with grease all over them. We're all intermixed. But what do they see of us? Do they see a bunch of people trying to straighten their tie, trying to get the lint off of their jackets? Or do they see a bunch of people that say, come see Christ? He knew everything that I've done. No matter how messed up I am, he still showed me mercy, and he'll show it to you. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Your eyes are your lamp. How do you see people? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to study on this topic again. Lord, prepare our hearts. So we can be strong in revealing our brokenness to people. It's easy for us to put up a show. Give us the strength. Show our weakness. to others. I ask this in Jesus' precious name.